The Grand Victoria Casino was the most spacious gaming facility in the state of Illinois, and one of the stranger venues Kevin had come across since he'd started playing cards. Designed to mimic a 19th-century paddle wheeler, the steamboat looked like a cross between an amusement park exhibit and a set in a lavish but slightly B-grade Hollywood movie. Adorned with bright lights and wood trim, the boat had been built on an ambitious scale. Guests were corralled through an 80,000-square-foot pavilion on the way to the casino, passing beneath a 55-foot ceiling sporting an 8-foot-tall clock. The paddle boat boasted more than 10,000 visitors per day, a fact made even more impressive considering the boat's capacity was only 1,200. That meant the Grand Victoria was almost always running at capacity. With 26 blackjack felts spread across the open rectangular deck of the boat, it was an excellent card-counting arena, with just the right balance of camouflaging crowds and easy table access. Furthermore, in Mickey's words, the Grand Victoria was a casino willing to take the action. Although the table limits were only $2,000 a hand, nobody was going to bother them for putting down the high bets. Certain casinos in downtown Vegas and all over Atlantic City sweated the action, sending a pit boss to breathe over a player's shoulder when the big bets were coming down. Kevin's team met at Buckingham Steakhouse, the complex's only upscale eatery, decorated to look like a Victorian-era parlor room. Mickey handed out assignments. As in Vegas, he was going to sit out, letting Kevin, Martinez, and Fisher run the show. Kiana and the rest seemed happy to remain in spotting positions. Maybe it was the responsibility of carrying large amounts of cash. Maybe it was just a function of their personalities. So they would spread out across the floor, covering nearly half of the tables all night long. Martinez took the first shift and Kevin the second, while Fisher would wait until early morning to play cleanup. That meant Kevin would hit the floor as BP around 2 a.m. Unlike in Vegas, the BPs would not spot when they were waiting for their shift. The venue was too close-knit. A player who suddenly mutated from a minimum betting table squatter to a roaming rich kid would draw notice here. Kevin, Mickey, and Fisher remained at a corner table at Buckingham's as the rest of the team headed into the casino. Mickey passed out cigars, Havanas given to him by one of the other unnamed investors, a real estate tycoon Kevin would never meet, and the three of them shared Vegas war stories. Mickey never spoke about his life before blackjack. It was as if he had been reborn on the strip with the discovery of his true calling. He spoke reverently about card counting. To him, it was both a business and a religion. Even though he couldn't really play anymore, he spent most of his free time practicing the art and making innovations. While Mickey talked, Kevin watched his waving hands as well as Fisher's cool expression. It was obvious that tension was growing between the elder manager and the lead team player. Kevin wondered if it was just about money. Mickey's large investment put an artificial cap on how much Fisher and the rest could earn. Still, there could be more to the story. Kevin knew very little about Mickey's history with the team. He had recruited Fisher and Martinez and taught them to play, but whatever else went on behind the scenes was still shrouded in mystery.